Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East City Ranch, deep underground in an unknown facility which will stay unknown. And we've got a great show tonight. We've got a couple quick announcements for those of you who haven't been to the website lately. We do have the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference up. We've got an awesome list of speakers: William Henry, Shelley Yates, Lisa Renee, Brooks Agnew, Dolores Cannon, Mary Rodwell, Michal Ledwith, John Kelly, Nahi, myself, Paula Harris, and Renato Lungato are all speaking at the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference July 2nd through the 5th. We have some self-mastery trainings, some Kundalini workshops, and we have a kids workshop there too as well. It's all on the website, so be sure and check that out. We've got a great show tonight. I could go on further, but I'm just going to cut the rest of this information short to bring our guest on, because I know we have so much to talk about. We've got Tony Elizabeth Sarah Petronovich is a, I'm sure I did that wrong, but she's a visionary, weaver of grace, quantum physicist, doctor of metaphysics, and multidimensional traveler. She's born with memory of the etheric worlds intact. And Tony uses her gift to expand the same remembrance within the consciousness of other beings. She is the owner of the sacred spaces, in the beautiful San Juan Islands off the coast of Washington State, where she conducts personal sessions, retreats, and etheric readings for all those drawn to the authentic self. She is the author of Call to Awakening, the Angelic Human, and its accompanying CD, DNA Reawakening. She does long-distance healings, and I can go on and on and on. You can go to her website. It's www.urSacred.com to find out more information. And with all that, we're going to welcome Tony on the show. Tony, are you with us?
I am there, James. Thank you very much. That was wonderful.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, you bet.
We've got so many things going on here. My brain's a little fried because of the chemtrails that hammered up here. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
But
you know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, you sent me an email about the real healthcare program and what we really need to do, and I'd like to just make that as an outline, and we can go further into other things as well, but if you wanted to go ahead and comment on that, and or I can ask you some questions, whichever you feel comfortable with.
Well, we can do both. Yes, I created a YouTube video regarding the healthcare reform that's in the news right now, saying healthcare reform versus health reform. In other words, I feel strongly that it isn't so much that the American people, or actually the people of the world, need to look at how they're going to manage their health care, as in medicine, so much as they need to realize that managing your own health alleviates the issue of having to reform health care. Mm-hmm. And as I said in the video, your health is equal to your happiness. Your happiness in life is creating your health or not. And though that might sound a little bit like a Hallmark greeting card, it scientifically has been proven that what happens within our body chemically that drives the feeling of happiness is also what creates the sense of well-being and a healthy body.
It does make sense. After all, dis-ease is, you know, ill at ease or not at ease. And if you're at ease, your body seems to find its way back to health.
Exactly. And Candace Pert is a researcher in many fields of biological medicine and has done a lot of work in the alternative medicine field. And when she was doing her, she has a wonderful book out called Molecules of Emotion, and in it she talks about when she was doing her thesis work and she was looking for what she called the opiate receptor in the brain. In other words, not for opium, but the opiate as in happiness. And she was looking for this receptor in the brain, and what she found out was that it was in every cell of the body. And as she continued her work, she also found out that the cold virus is picked up by the same receptor in the cell that the chemistry for happiness, endorphins, is picked up by the same receptor as the cold virus. So if you have, if you want to imagine like your cell, like a round circle with maybe a little keyhole sticking up, just for a picture, if your little keyhole isn't filled with the happiness chemistry of your body and the cold virus comes along, it has a space to lock into, and you become sick and say you have a cold. Except mm-hmm. on a biochemical level, what you've actually done is left an opening for that virus to come into your body by the state of your own happiness in your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one example. But the entire immune system works the same way. And stress, because everybody seems to be under so much stress all the time. Stress is the thing that lowers your ability to be happy and therefore opens the door to illness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to work with a biophysicist for almost 7 years, and the guy's got like, I don't know how many PhDs and uh-huh. degrees, amazing. But he was showing that, basically what he came down to, he said, food should be your medicine. We should be eating very close to the earth and get away from all the processed food. And then he said, eliminate stress, and that will turn your whole system around.
Exactly. And one of the things that I was talking about in my video was, people say, okay, great idea, great concept, but what can I do to create more happiness easily? Because there's a lot of, beliefs around how that all works. And
uh-huh.
basically, it's just very simple things. If you're being grateful for your life, if you're being optimistic about what can be created in your life, no matter where you're living or who you are or what's going on in your life, it increases your happiness chemistry when you're focusing on the positive. And it contributes to your well-being so that you begin to feel more comfortable with you. So it's a self-feeding mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
The more you do it, the more you're able to want to do it because you're feeling better and better within your body. And it's not something that is a big step to take. It's a moment-to-moment
uh-huh.
experience.
Now, what seems interesting, that I get a lot of emails from people, and it's a strange walk because I have so many different hats. I have kind of like the higher consciousness and energy hat, and then I have the science hat and the UFO hat, and I also, practice some major spiritual practices as well. So, but I see that a lot of times I get a lot of flack from people saying, well, you're not addressing the problem, you're not addressing the issues. You're in denial and things uh-huh. of that nature by not, addressing a lot of these situations coming up. It's considered, mm-hmm. Like the banksters and the warmongers and the war and disease profiteers and everything else.
Uh-huh.
What do you think the best answer for that one would be?
What you place your attention on, you get more of.
Yeah.
Not to say that you don't want to be aware that that's there. I mean, fine, mm-hmm. be aware. It's a little bit hard not to be aware unless you're absolutely not looking ever. And yet,
mm-hmm.
where you place your attention is what is not only going to create more of it for you, it's going to create more of it in the world. And that's
mm-hmm.
why Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. He didn't mean go out and do good deeds. What he meant was you have to be the change you want to see, because you can't see it if you're not being it. And if you want to see it, you have to be it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like the law of attraction. I like to call that the principle of resonance. Where you're placing your attention is what you create more of in your life, no matter what that is. So you can decide what you want to have in your world. And when somebody says to me, and I've had this discussion before, and I've made some people very angry. In fact, during an interview, I made a call-in person very angry because they were saying that I was denying that there's a war going on in Iraq. And it turned out the person's son was over there, and there was a whole emotional chain that unveiled itself. But I said, fine, but that's not in my world. In my world, that doesn't exist. Now, that's true. In my world, there is no war. It's not something I'm trying to dream up or use as a concept. In my personal world, there is no war. So why would I want to put my attention on it? What is my reason to put my attention on it? That's why I always ask people, why are you doing this? What is the benefit to you? Because as much as we're quote-unquote spiritual beings having a human experience, we're also in animal bodies. And then one thing about the animal body is that it will always do that which benefits it. There's always a secondary gain to everything that is done. So why are you deciding that you have to place your attention on Iraq or Iran or the war or the bank problems or the economy. Why are you stressing placing your attention on that which is something you don't like? And then just take it from there to find out why, because the person always has a reason underneath it all. And just like this woman who was very upset with me years ago when I told her that there was no war in my world, and she said that I was denigrating her son and I was putting him down and I was doing this. And then she finally at the end said, he has come back with post-traumatic stress and I have done everything I can to heal him and it hasn't worked. Bingo. Personal investment. Not that I am trying to put her down or say that she's wrong. All I'm saying is it's a personal investment in this woman wanting to place her attention on the war. So now we know why that's going on. It isn't something that a person has to do unless they have a specific reason that they want to do it, knowing that as they do that, they are creating more of it. You're feeding energy to it.
Yeah, it's a very, very tricky line to walk because, I mean, I get that a lot. And I'm kind of the school right now where I, you know, praise Allah, tie your camel. Pay attention to what's happening around me.
Right.
I do know that, you know, there
exactly.
are fellow humans dying and choosing that experience. And most of them don't even know why they're there or the real reasons they're there or anything else. And so it's tricky, you know, what do you do to end, you know, pain and suffering or war and disease? If, you know, it kind of, should you address it? Like, okay, look, the real reason behind war is because one king wanted what another king had, you know, nothing else. There's no holy wars. And bring some education into that versus just denying that it's not part of your reality.
This is true. You can do that. And just like I did a sequence of YouTube videos, because I do a new one every week, on the territorial imperative and tracing it back. It's all about land. It's all about money. It's all about power and wealth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about for every person in every country. And one of the things that I think is really important to realize is rather than feeling like you're denying that something is in your world or trying to resist it or push it away, is to sit down with yourself, because each of us sends out energy into the whole, however you want to see the whole, as a hologram or a matrix or the grid or whatever word you want to use. Each of us sends that energy out into the whole. So what do you want the whole to feel? If you're aware of the fact that there's a war going on and this is bringing up some kind of reaction in you, what would you prefer that the whole feels? One would assume that the person wants the whole to feel peace. So you sit down and you feel peace in you, so that the whole may feel peace through you.
Yeah, it sounds like the Huna traditions. They you know, work along those levels, and you know, taking that person into themselves and then healing themselves, and that heals the other person that is seemingly outside of yourselves, which nothing really is. But
no,
it's
really
an interesting concept.
Well, I often think about what it would be like. You know, I know there's lots of people listening to us, so just think about it for yourself, each of the listeners. It's easy to say, this is happening out there, and I think it's wrong, and it shouldn't be going on, and I wish they would stop doing this, the ubiquitous they.
Mm-hmm.
What about if each of us sat down every day for, say, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, doesn't have to be long, and held a feeling in your body, create a feeling of peace and well-being in your body and hold that feeling and with your energy completely engulf the world, the earth, all the people and just hold it as like you would a baby and hold your energy stream so finely and with such attention that that's all that you're experiencing.
Yeah, that would be, if everybody did it, we'd definitely have peace and it would come to an end. You know, I know
exactly.
One of the main things people have, and I know you probably, do you have a TV? Do you ever watch TV?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Do you?
Time, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have a TV up here and I don't even want one. But
okay.
I get enough on the internet. But I went into, I use the example a lot. I went into Les Schwab to get some my tires, studs taken off or whatever. And mm-hmm. I look up at the screen and I just see this woman screaming terror with this terror look on her face. The best acting job I've ever seen. You know, saying that, you know, Al-Qaeda is going to shut down the net and shut down people's cell phones and banking and everything. And they're getting ready for their big terror push, you know, and we should be very, very scared. And it shows all these clips of people pushing their phones and nothing happening and with totally confused looks at their computer because nothing's coming up. And I was looking at that and not having a TV and not being exposed to that, the energy that came off of that or that newscast and the TV and everything, I mean, I was kind of unprepared. I was looking at it, and I got ill almost. I went, ugh. I go, God. I go, people have no idea, you know, like a frog in a pot. They've been sitting there watching that boob tube for so long.
Right.
They have no idea what kind of energy is being transmitted to them, how they're being programmed, or anything else. And I always recommend just throw your TV out, you know, right now. And maybe we do need to, if enough people just stop participating in the war machine and these wars and you know, the old saying, what if they gave a war and nobody showed up? You know, we would take the profit out of war and the war is over.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And the amount of disinformation that comes across the television into everyone's living room every day, people don't realize that you're only being shown that which sustains the machine that is in process of grinding its wheels at the moment. That's what you're being shown. You're not being shown anything else. So
no.
Just like you said, it constantly recreates and recreates this energy. And each person who buys into the energy, because that's what they believe is actually happening, then they feed that energy, and it makes it bigger and bigger and bigger. So I agree with you completely that, you know, just not paying attention to it is exactly the perfect answer. There's nothing worse than being ignored. You know, resisting something is one thing, but ignoring a person, place, or thing is the most appropriate response to something that you don't want to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't put any energy in it one way or the other. If you push against it, you're adding energy to it.
Well, I had an email sent to me. It blew me away, and I read this and watched this video, and it was about the people that really did investigation behind the scenes into the government coffers and what's really going on, and they showed how the states have two sets of books. And one set is all the debits and all the problems, you know, that they need to pay for, which they have to raise taxes to pay. And the other set of books has all the income-producing projects they've invested in. And they don't add that to the mix. And this one guy did an investigation on the federal government. He said that they actually have $40 trillion worth of assets and income on one side of the books, and then they have this debit of $3 trillion on the other. And when he explained this whole system to me, I went, oh, my God, you know. And people are freaking out about health care and about, you know, people losing their homes and everything else. And when you see the enormous amount of wealth and abundance that's there that has been manufactured out of the system, you know, so we have this manufactured lack. It is just unbelievable what has been going on and what's happening to, you know, your base, you know, John Doe and Jane Doe that don't really know what's going on. It just blows me away. And when I see things like that, I go, okay, do I send this out over the list and maybe possibly take some heat from it and let people know? Or do I just kind of look the other way? You know, which way do I go on this? And I always choose to send it out over the list to educate people knowing that probably some heat might come my way.
Right, exactly. And people can make up their own mind about how they feel about it. And if somebody gets upset, well, then it's a good learning experience for you. And just, that happens with me all the time. I mean, people, I post to YouTube every week. And let me tell you, people don't all agree with what I say. So that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, just be with it. And yet, I firmly think that what's happening within on a metaphysical level, because that's what I teach. I teach metaphysics. So on a metaphysical level, all of this tra-la-la that we're experiencing that's in the news mm-hmm. is actually coming to a tipping point where your common ordinary man who, you know, goes out in Moses Field in the middle of Wichita and sits down with his beer and his remote at night is going to begin to realize what's happening. Because so long as the fodder that's being fed is digestible, then it's just going to keep being brought into their living room. But it's mm-hmm. getting to the point where it's not, where people are getting, it's impacting them on such a deep level, financially, their homes, their jobs, their life,
mm-hmm.
that people are going to begin to realize that there's something amiss.
Yeah, I've always said that, you know, basically nothing's going to happen until it affects people personal. And,
right.
Or until it gets personal. And and now it has gotten personal. And, you know, they keep fudging the numbers. And, you know, by the real numbers, we have up to, could have even up to a 28% unemployment rate.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying, I don't know what they're saying now, it's at 11% or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know, unbelievable that, you know, what's going on. You know, the real figures, and, you know, people are looking at these figures and they're saying, everything's in recovery, nothing to worry about and everything else. And then next thing you know, they're out in the streets and they don't have a house, they don't have a job, they don't have a car, nothing. And you get enough people out there like that, they're going to figure it out that the mainstream media is corporate owned and they aren't hearing the truth. And then they'll start finally doing their own investigation and hopefully band together and make a change.
Yes, I agree. And there's a lot of alternative news agencies that are on the Internet that have a wealth of information. One of them comes out of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they just really go behind the news. They tell you what's really going on, not just what, you know, Fox or ABC or whoever is doing it is telling the public. They
mm-hmm.
really, and they tell you where it comes from, and they tell you how it works and what's happening, much like these videos you were talking about that you got. And I think if people take the time, it's easy, and most people have a computer, and most people love to sit and search on the Internet just because it's fun to play. If they just look for some of the Tom Flocos or the Canadian papers or whatever that they want to read and see what the real truth is behind some of the things that you see on the news, either in the newspaper or on the radio or on television, and you find out what is really happening, then
mm-hmm.
people's eyes will be able to wake up. But each person has to be self-responsible to do that.
Yeah, I saw a special, a BBC special, is quite interesting, but they did one on Al-Qaeda and
mm-hmm.
Osama bin Laden, and basically they were saying that this whole program was a scam, you know, created
mm-hmm.
by our own agencies, and they were duped into the war and everything else. This is on mainstream BBC.
Mm-hmm.
And giving the whole information about how, you know, there weren't any sleeper cells, there weren't any huge underground facilities, and they never found anything that of what all the intelligence they were given, nothing added up, and you know, it was pretty amazing. So when you look at this, you go, wait a second, and then all the forensic reports are saying almost every video since 2001. Was made by somebody else because the new guy they have is right-handed left-handed and he had a mole in a different place and things like, you know, they really kind of screwed up whoever did
uh-huh.
those videos, and they might have done it on purpose to send the people a message, but all these you know, videos and terror alerts are manufactured, you know, so mm-hmm. it's, you know, every time I go to the airport and I hear code orange, code red, you know, you should be very scared. You know, I just go, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe people are still playing that program, you know, or running that program. And again, it is time, you know, for people to start looking behind the curtain and go outside of mainstream media and start trying to get a little different perspective on what's really going on.
Yes, and a lot of people, you know, I've talked to people about things like this. I talk a lot about the work of Zachariah Sitchin, if you're familiar with him. And
mm-hmm.
people will say, okay, fine, you know, even if he's right, you know, so what? What am I supposed to do? what you're supposed to do is to tell other people,
yeah.
the things that you find in other news streams, and just keep spreading the word, because word of mouth is the fastest way for anything to travel, even faster than the
mm-hmm.
internet. It just goes like wildfire. And the more people who are aware of what the possibilities of the truth are for any subject, then have an ability to tell everybody else, and people are really wanting to listen. I had a great conversation today with a fellow. We stopped to look, Philip, my beloved, and I stopped to look at this RV, and it was for sale, and the fellow happened to be there. We were just on the way to the market, actually, and we live on an island, so everybody kind of knows
mm-hmm.
everybody else, and we stopped and to look at this RV, and we were just talking, and we got talking about money, and I said, you know, I read the most interesting article in the online news a couple days ago. It was a newspaper that said that 47% of the American families do not pay taxes. And he says, well, is it the higher class or the lower class? I said, well, they didn't really say. But I know that makes a big difference. But
mm-hmm.
I just thought it was interesting that almost half of the American people, the American families, do not pay taxes. And instead of, this is just kind of like one of these, you know, what happens if you spread the word, instead of saying, oh, wow, where can I read it or whatever, he looked at me and he said, do you think I've been doing the wrong thing paying my taxes then? Okay, in that moment, he's considering joining that 47%, if
mm-hmm.
even for a moment. And that's how fast you can influence somebody by talking to them about something that you have learned that is closer to the truth than what anybody else is saying in the news media. And that's
mm-hmm.
why I say it's to spread the word. People really listen when you start talking about things that are different than what they know. And if people will spend the time to educate themselves about what's really happening and talk about it, then more and more people will be able to understand it. Because that's how fast people grasp the information. I mean, they really want, people want more. They want more than what they're being fed. You know, you're talking about television. If you look at what's available on television right now for the masses, there's nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. The only reason we have a TV is because there's a couple of very special programs we like to watch. And we have a television, and that's what we watch. We don't watch all the rest of this. But when you look at it and you see what's there, there's nothing.
Yeah, I did that. I went to a hotel. I was going to speak at a conference a little while ago, and I went into the hotel, and you know, they go 72 channels, you know,
yeah.
available. And I said, "Oh, great! I'll check it out and I'll see what's going on," you know. And I just see all these like ridiculous game shows and
yeah, right,
and just you know, I kept going through trying to find just something I could watch, something entertaining.
Yeah.
And out of those 72, I think I finally found something on either the Discovery or the History Channel
right.
that I could
yeah,
actually
definitely.
Watch that just wasn't an insult to my intelligence, you know, out
no,
of 72
I know.
Channels.
I know. Yeah. I completely understand what you're saying, and I find it absolutely amazing. I mean, I think I'm a really intelligent person, but I don't think that I am, you know, genius IQ.
Mm-hmm.
If I am of normal intelligence or a little bit above, wherever we are there, that means that all of those people that want to watch these programs, they have to be at least as intelligent as I am, and they're really enjoying this. My mind can't wrap around it. I don't understand it.
Well, I think that professional wrestling is like number one, isn't it, that people watch?
Oh, heavens, I don't know. I have
something
no
something like
is
that.
True?
I was blown away. I go, you got to be kidding me. You know, that's one of the number one things people watch besides the soap operas, you know. And I always tell my friends that watch those things, I said, you know, when you watch a soap opera, you become a soap opera. And you know, it's garbage in, garbage out. Is that what you want?
Right.
And,
right, exactly.
You know, they just keep watching them. They're like addicted to it.
Well, you could do the same thing with YouTube. If you go on YouTube and look at the numbers of which programs or, you know, movies are being watched the most, and none of them make any sense. They're just, there was one that had thousands and thousands of viewers. It was somebody who threw their cell phone in a blender to see what would happen when they turned it on. And it was something like 60,000 viewers. 60,000 people want to watch a cell phone get blended. Okay.
Yeah. I watched the two cell phones make popcorn and cook an egg. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Cell phones did that? What a kick.
Yeah, that's they funny. Took two cell phones and they cooked an egg and then they took and they popped popcorn with them. And, you know, everybody's trying to say that's a myth, that's a myth. And I go, I don't know. You know, may not be, but, you know, I thought that was, I go, you got to be kidding me, because I've always told people to keep your cell phone away from your head. And I know people that were major cell phone users that ended up with brain cancer. And and I could not get them to take the cell phone away from their head, you know, or just get an earpiece or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they even after they got brain cancer, they still used it and refused to accept the fact that, you know, that might have been the reason, you know, even though it was right behind their ear, right where their phone was and everything else, they still would just totally refuse to accept the fact that that might have had something to do with it.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've just seen the just the denial and the addiction to certain things that people, even if it means their own demise, they just, you know, won't let go. It's like I always tell people that story about the monkey trap. You know that one, don't you?
The monkey trap?
Yeah, they actually cut a hole in a coconut and they put rice inside and then they tether it to the ground with a stake, you know, with a piece of leather.
Yeah.
And the monkey goes in there and he grabs the rice, and then they come and either club him or throw a net over him, you know, whichever they need, you know, whatever the reason they're trying to catch him. And he's too greedy to let go of the rice, so they catch him every time. And I see that that's most of humanity, is that we have our hand in that monkey trap and we're holding on to all of our stuff, you know, whether it be material acquisitions or our emotional programs or mental programs or whatever, and we're holding on. So, and all we got to do is let go and we're free, you know. But,
I know.
We just wait for the hunter to come and club us, you know.
Well, it has to do with self-responsibility, too, because if people, and I know what people are afraid of. I understand that. My last movie this last week was on erasing fear, and I understand what fear is. But I also know that fear's mechanism is easily released when you become responsible for yourself fully. And you don't have this need to think that, well, I have to believe this or that, because if I don't, I'm going to lose my job, lose my religion, lose my soul, lose my wife, lose my husband, lose my children, my house. You're going to lose something when you release this belief you have that is based on fear. So long as that fear is there, all it's going to do is erode away, both mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, in all the bodies. And I think that that's the thing that people hold on to the tightest, is whatever it is that makes them feel like, well, so long as I have this, I'm okay. Everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing how elusive all of it really is. It could all just be gone in the next second. You know?
It reminds me of that movie, The Jerk, you know, where he had everything and then he ended up losing everything, including his wife. And he kept saying, I don't need you. You know, all I need is this drink or this umbrella and then this chair. And he kept grabbing things on the way out, saying, I don't need anything. It was kind of funny, you know, but it seems like a lot of
I didn't see that movie. Is that what happened? That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's Steve Martin's in it. It's worth watching. It's kind of hilarious what he goes through. But, and it has some, you know, really good values in there. Everything turns around. He goes through some major life lessons, you know, about trying to be somebody, you know, and then he finds out he already is somebody towards the end and
great.
Connects with the real people, you know, the people that are down to earth that really do care about him. But, anyway, you know, there's a couple things, this healthcare thing, you know, going back to the healthcare program, what I see is I love what you're saying about we have to reform healthcare, not the program, because I mean it is so obvious right now that, you know, the biggest drug pushers, I hate to say it, on the planet are becoming the doctors, and they are trained by the pharmaceutical companies, and it's not working. Statistics are making it very clear. You know, you have a 400% better chance of surviving cancer by not taking, you know, chemotherapy and some of the other things. And these are their own numbers. You know, this is coming out of the American Cancer Society and things like that. So, you know, you see over and over and over again, it just isn't working, and that there are safe, natural ways of taking care of a lot of these problems. And, you know, there's a lot of ancient formulas and healing modalities and things like that that are working far superior than standard medicine or whatever. So, you know, you look at this whole program and you ask, you know, okay, nobody goes, okay, what was the cause? You know, how did these people get this way in the first place? And very seldom do they ever go there as far as teaching them, you know, proper diet, teaching them, you know, get the chemicals out of your system, you know, get away from a lot of these chemicals, get the stress out of your life, you know, learn to simplify, meditate, you know, practice your own inner healing, whatever, you know. That mm-hmm. all this stuff is just completely ignored.
It's true. And there's also things that are occurring within the United States and other countries too, but we're here, so I'm talking about mm-hmm. here, that people don't realize. We just came back from a six-week trip that we took from Washington State down through Arizona and back up. We went down through California and then came back up the eastern side of California because going down the western coast just was not something we wanted to do again. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, on the way back, we were out in the desert coming back up sort of out of Arizona into California, just getting in and going up north. And I worked the whole time that we were on this trip. I did my spiritual readings and my movies and my newsletter and, you know, everything else I do. And I had an opportunity when we had some quiet time in this one part of the desert to do a recording that would be the audio for the movie I was creating. So I just sat down like I always do. I do this every week. I'm the same recorder. I mean, I could do it with my eyes closed. I've done it so many times. And I record my piece, and I go to put it into the movie software, and it's all this static. And I said to Philip, what do you think is causing this? And he says, well, I don't know. Let's change the battery. We changed the battery on the little recorder. I took off all my jewelry. We made sure that there wasn't anything that was on in this little RV we had borrowed for the trip. And I couldn't make it go away. So I said, well, I'll just have to wait till we go someplace else. I don't know what's going on. So we went up the road, and we traveled a day's worth of, you know, a few hundred miles, and parked again. And I tried it again and still got the static. And I thought, oh, I wonder if my recorder's going. Then we started to get headaches. And neither one of us said anything to the other one because neither one of us ever get headaches. And so we just kind of thought, well, you know, it's pollen season. And finally, it was really bothering me. And so I said, you know, I just can't shake this headache. And he goes, oh, you too? And I said, yeah, I just got this headache. And it's not really bad, but it's just a nagger. And he goes, yeah, me too. So we go on and on and on and on and on, and we finally, after a day and a half, leave this area of the desert that we're in. The headaches go away, and I go to try my recorder again, and everything is fine. And we look on the map, and we were surrounded by military installations.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some energy that is being sent out, for whatever reason, that is impacting your physical body, as well as electrical equipment, and people are living there. And that's just one example. This mm-hmm. happens everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And then you put the stress load on top of it, of, say, driving down I-5 in Western California, and you live in that every single day. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's not good.
Yeah, I heard something really interesting. There's a guy, I think it was James Kosovo. I'm not sure if I have his name right, but he came out of PSYOPs and the Black Ops stuff and everything else. And he was talking about, he gave pretty explicit details, and I've heard this from several other sources too, is that a lot of these military installations, and they're actually putting them along the I-5 corridor in certain areas, and they're putting up these antennas, and I drove by there once and I saw these massive dishes aiming across. You had to drive through them to get into LA.
We saw them.
Yeah, and I go, what the heck are those? You know, and why are they aiming at the cars going by? Why aren't they aiming up in the sky if they are a communication dish? Mm-hmm. And why are they aiming right at a hill on the other side that there's no way they could be picking up a signal from somewhere else? They're actually scanning the people as they go by, weird system. And then I started hearing about how they're using towers, cell towers, all these things as broadcasting units for these certain frequencies to hold people's consciousness down or energies down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into HARP and you get into the other psychotronics and the other things going on. And I've talked to some very highly evolved beings, and they said that, you know, basically when all this stuff goes down, that you're going to see a huge awakening very fast because people have no idea how much they're being suppressed in their in consciousness. And, you know, you really think about this, you go, wow, this is just unbelievable what is being done, not to go into the dark side. I mean, I have dug very deep into all this stuff, and I'm just completely blown away. It's like a certain group has just declared full-scale war on humanity, and people haven't figured that one out yet, and they're still supporting it. But I think people are waking up very fast right now to, you know, what's really going on, the extreme manufactured lack that's going on, who's behind it, all of this stuff, food shortages, everything is all manufactured. There's no reason why we couldn't feed, you know, just about everybody and housing, everything. We could end poverty, homelessness, and bring out the real health care, you know, if we wanted to, you know, in the blink of an eye, if we knew where all that money was.
Yeah, I agree. There's a book that listeners might want to acquire to read, also you, James, if you're interested, called The Family. And I can't remember the name of the author, but if you look it up on the internet, you'll find it on Amazon. That's where I got it. And it's about this group of people that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it tells you explicitly how it happens.
I knew some inside people in the families.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
And they're actually on the good side, and they're trying to change things. They're trying to move things around, and they kind of gave me the scoop on what's going down, and it's pretty, everything that we see on the outer appearance is like countries against countries, and everything else is just a big shell game. It's a joke.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It's played by these elite, and, it's time we figure that one out, that, you know, people really don't really go to war against people. They just don't do it. And if you go and meet the common people just about anywhere, they're mostly are all they care about is they want to live in peace. You know, they want to have an abundant life. You know, they want to make their own personal God connection, most of them. That's the basics that they want to enjoy, you know, in their heart of hearts. And all this other stuff is just kind of a steered program by certain elite groups that really need to chill out, you know.
Money and power.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, need to wake up and smell the coffee. Well, you know, what's sad that they haven't figured out the manifesting power that set this whole place into motion and everything else is love, you know, and it's the ultimate power. And they're actually, you know, by selling their souls like they're doing by their actions and their attitudes and emotions and the things that they're doing and the separation game they're playing, they're actually cutting themselves off from the real power, you know, and the higher consciousness and energy. And it's a very low form of consciousness, a very disempowering move that they're making. And you know, they are their own worst enemies. They can develop these monstrous egos of separation, but they'll never, ever reach the higher levels where the real power is.
No, not at all. I mean, it's very earth-based and very physicality-based.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I agree with you completely. And what goes around comes around. I mean, it's going to end up, you know, biting them in the butt, as the phrase goes, eventually.
Yeah.
And I believe that some of them know that. But like you said, it's easy to get addicted Yeah, people are addicted to television programs. People get addicted to power and money, and back into what if I don't have this, what do I have? You know, it's that fear again of losing the position they believe that they are in.
You know, I think a lot of them right now is their souls are nagging them, the guilt, you might say, of them knowing that there is a karmic consequence that, you know, like you're saying, what goes around comes around. There is an action-reaction principle.
Yep.
And they're coming in. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out.
No.
But they're coming into awareness that, you know, at the end of their program is a total downward spiral and collapse.
Yes.
And for all concerned, and you know, I always tell people, you know, what use is a Porsche if there's no gas and no roads and there's a whole mob waiting to take it away from you?
Exactly.
You know? And if there's no food and no gas and no roads to drive it on, your Porsche isn't worth anything more than a loaf of bread. So it's really, that's where things end up if they keep going on their present course. So you know, we can turn that around by just, you know, having a major wake up come through that group, you might say.
Right, exactly. And to create that energy, we each have to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's important.
Yeah, what if we all just focus this love, joy, and bliss and forgive these guys so they can forgive themselves and take them into our hearts and just totally give them the juice, you know, give them the big spiritual love whammy and see what happens.
well, that's the thing. And to keep your attention on that aspect.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you see, you know, the news or when people start talking about it or, you know, whatever comes, however it comes up, to keep your attention on the aspect of, yes, okay, there is that, and I am going to sit here and be in peace. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hold peace for all.
And I think that there's also a part of it is just being aware of what you're participating in.
Yes.
You know, is that we have to put a kind of a physical component to that and just, you know, wake up and be really aware of how you're contributing to the awakening healing process or the downward spiral. You know, what are you doing daily, you know, with your life, and is it detrimental to humanity and the earth, or are you creating something that is service-oriented, that's helping, you know, humanity and the earth, and just stop participating in, you know, the wars and the disease profiteering and all the other nonsense that's going on, and shift gears into the awakening healing process.
I agree. And I tell a lot of people who, especially when a person says, well, you know, it's great to say that and I agree with you, but you should see the people that I live with, and you should see the people I work with, and you should see it. And I say, okay, I'm going to challenge you to do something. I want you to call up your inner pirate. One of my greatest heroes is Captain Jack Sparrow of the Pirates of the Caribbean, because in the first movie, all he ever said, every time somebody said, how did you show up? You're supposed to be dead. You're supposed to be marooned. He said, you forget. I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he said. He didn't give any other explanation because he knew who he was.
Yeah.
And that's what each of us can be, is who we are. And say to somebody, call up your inner pirate and say, well, I understand that you all feel this way and you all voted this way and this is how you're experiencing, and I'm not. So let me tell you why I'm not. And just put out what you are really feeling inside of yourself and be a pirate and rock the boat. Don't be afraid to rock the boat. And that's where the being able to step over that line of fear begins to unravel, because you realize, and I've tried this in circumstances where people said, you said what? That 9/10 of the people there switched and began to agree with me because nobody else had the courage to rock the boat until I rocked it, and then everybody else was rocking it with me.
Uh-huh.
But you've got to open your
mouth. I've been rocking the boat for a long time, and hopefully I can get around this last boat rocking I've done, but you know, we've got the county a little upset at us and some other things going on because we've got all these people coming up here wanting to see UFOs, and they're saying we can't do that and we have to jump through all these hoops and just unbelievable nonsense. But I've been rocking the boat a bit, and I'm at that threshold going, okay, how do I, just make this go away so I can continue doing my other work. And, you know, it's quite a challenge.
Well, sometimes we have to reframe what we're doing a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, can't really grab them by the throat anymore and shake them. So they take a dim view.
Energetically, you can. Energetically, you can.
So say, what were you thinking? You know, it's like some great things. You know, it blows me away what's happening up here. We have, you know, like masters appearing here. Kuan Yin's appeared here. Other masters. We've actually got it on film. We're having, you know, contact with these ultra-dimensional beings, and the ships are coming in. I mean, this is such an amazing thing. And to have somebody come up and say, oh, no, no, we have to stop this, you know, like I go, do you know where you're stopping? Do you have any idea what you're going up against? Or do you even have a clue? And it's amazing they don't, but they are in a position that can cause a lot of problems, unfortunately. But I always ask, who puts these guys in these positions, and how do they earn the right to be in these positions? And they really don't have the consciousness or the know-how or anything else to be where they're at. It just makes no sense whatsoever.
No, I agree. I agree. And just hold the vision of how you want it to, the end result, what you want the end result to be. Just keep holding that vision. Yeah,
that's what I always do. I'm under the thing of I just do it. You know, I get the vision, I get the information, I just do it.
Yep.
I make it happen. And everybody goes, you can't do that, you can't do that. And I just do it. And, you know, and I've been getting away with it so far. And I think now I have one of my biggest challenges coming up, you know, where I've got some major people saying, you can't do it, you know. So, you know, but you really think about it. I mean, nothing but good has come about it. You know, nobody's been harmed in 24 years. Awesome things are happening here, you know, spontaneous healings, you know, all these other incredible things are happening. People are waking up and getting it. And and you really, you look at that whole big picture and you say, okay, so where is the problem here? You know, and there really isn't a problem other than the ones that they usually create, you know, systems and governments, they create problems where none exist. And, you know, I think that the people are going to have to stand up and just go, you know what? You know, these problems don't exist. You know, you created them, and now you're trying to act like you're the solution. And this is really on our backs. You know, we're having to pay for all this nonsense, and we've had enough. And, you know, we'll solve our own problems from here on out.
Yep, that sounds exactly like that is what needs to happen.
Yeah, and I think it is happening. It does seem to be going in that direction.
Good, good. Yeah, the government is always an interesting body of laws and regulations to work with. And the people who enforce it usually don't know anything besides what's in their book. Mm-hmm. They don't have any concept of what is really happening or even why the law was originally enacted or whatever it is. I mean, there isn't a lot of connecting the dots that goes on. It's just, you know, it says on page 25 that this is the way it's supposed to be, and I'm here to enforce that.
Yeah, we go, okay, from where you derive your rights to enforce what's on page 25? And they go, no, it's in the book here. This is what it says. They don't even know where they
comes that's
from.
What I mean. Yeah, they don't. They don't know. They don't have any idea what's going on, even in their own job. Far less what you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I find so amazing.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're out of time, so I've got to sign off here. Can you give your website real quick if people want to get a hold of you?
Oh, yes, thank you. Youaresacred.com, spelled just as it usually is, youaresacred.com. That's a portal to all three of my websites, and from there you can go anywhere.
Awesome. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I know we could have gone on for a couple more hours, but unfortunately, we're out of time.
Thank you so much, James. Best to you with all of your little issues that are coming up.
I'll hold space for you.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, this is
bye-bye.
James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and be the change you want to experience. And also, remember, an awakened God is very hard to handle. They can't be manipulated, which is something they don't want to happen. Anyway, have a good evening. Good night.